Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Now, I've had an absolutely shocking week. On Monday, the wife borrowed a couple of...
Excuse me, Mr. Boyle, I'm most frightfully sorry to trouble you.
What is it, Captain Povey?
Well, do you think you could cut this a little bit short? I have an urgent appointment with the Director of Naval Expenditure. I'm terribly late now.
You see? I told you, it's a shocking week. Robin doesn't even get a chance to say his funny piece, poor devil. Yes. Well, I'd better let Captain Povey get to his appointment at the Admiralty, I suppose.
What was the name again, sir?
Povey. Captain Povey. I have an appointment with Mr. Merrifield, the Director of Naval Expenditure.
Oh, you'll be another one to get his bowler at, then.
What?
Mr. Merrifield has been slinging them out wholesale, sir. I'll just see if Mr. Merrifield is available, sir.
Yes, but tell him there's no hurry.
A Captain Fauvale to see you, sir.
Oh, will you be then back to Pentagon this morning?
This way, Captain Fauvale.
Oh, thank you. I'm most grateful. Come in, Povey. Shut the door.
Park yourself somewhere.
Oh,
I shouldn't sit in that one. It's the Admiral's.
Oh, my word. I do apologize. If I'd known it was the Admiral's, I wouldn't have dreamed.
Oh, it's nothing to do with protocol, old man. Just the last time he sat there, he was wearing his sword, and somehow or other, he punctured the plush. If anyone parks in it now, the whole office fills with feathers, and we all end up looking like Rhode Island Red. Well, what do you think of my plan?
Thanks, sir. What plan?
That's the ticket, Povey. Remember security at all times, but you can speak freely in here, you know.
But how can I? I don't know anything about any plan.
No, of course you don't. Now, don't be too upset about this, Povey. It comes to all of us in time, you know. Parting of the ways and all that.
What? But I'm a comparatively young...
I'd like to have spared you, but it's these adverse reports, you see.
Adverse reports?
It may seem a bit on the drastic side to you, but there it is.
Wait. You can't do this, Mr. Merrifield. I beg you to reconsider. I've given my whole life to the service. You can't just chuck a man on the scrap heap when he's still in his prime. Feel those muscles. Go on, feel them.
No,
oh,
no,
there's no. Real power there.
Now, look here.
Ah, yes, the eyes. Well, good as you. Look through that window. See that bus at the bottom of Whitehall? It's the number 12. Westminster Bridge, Elephant and Castle.
Hove it, Bobby.
Campbell Green, Dunwich, Penge, Addiscombe.
Hove, you raving lit. Shut up. What on earth are you talking about?
But I was trying to show you how mistaken you are in getting rid of me.
Getting rid of you? Who said anything about that? We want to get rid of that shower on Troutbridge.
What?
Yes.
You know, the relief.
Naturally, I thought you'd be upset at losing touch with your comrades in arms and all that jazz. It means cutting down your flotilla for a bit too, of course.
Oh, I don't mind anything you say, sir. Anything at all. You know best, sir.
Yes, I realize that, of course. Now, we don't want any trouble with that crew, but we've got to get them off Troutbridge and split them up, you see. We can't afford to go on forking out for repairs every time they go to sea. The snag is that from your reports, it looks as if there might be a few hotheads amongst them, and that could mean trouble, Povey. Yes, it could mean trouble. Any ideas?
I know. Oh, this could be delicious.
Yes.
Supposing I give them all a 48-hour pass.
Yes, yes.
And whilst they're away, we put a skeleton crew aboard Troutbridge and have her move to Plymouth.
Oh, capital idea, capital. When they get back, the ship's gone, and we send the lot on refresher courses. What? My word, you're a sharp one, Povey. Now, which ship shall we get the skeleton crew from, I wonder? They've got to be good, reliable men, by golly. Yes, they'll have to be all of that.
Well, why not use the men for my own destroyer, Makepeace?
Better and better. You know, you're wasted, Povey. I could do with a man like you up here.
Up here, sir? At Admiralty?
Yes, for a start, you could make sure I get on the right bus home every night. I ended up in Farmer's Green Garage last night, drafty hole. The driver must have left the garage doors open when he clocked off, I suppose. Well, carry on, Povey. Pop in any time, won't you?
Well, don't hang about in my office, gentlemen. Get your crew away on leave.
All right, sir. May I say how much we appreciate this gesture by Admiralty? It's jolly nice of them.
But I still don't understand it, sir. I mean, fancy giving us extra leave for outstanding efficiency.
You're quite sure you've got the right ship, aren't you, sir?
Oh, yes, they were quite clear. And may I say, I fully concur with the idea. Now, off you go, and enjoy your leave.
Curiouser. Admiralty thinks we're efficient. Captain Povey thinks we're efficient. Something cockeyed somewhere.
Who cares, sir? Who cares? Never look a gift leave in the horse, I say.
Yes, you would.
And what are you two looking so baffled about?
Oh, hello, Heather. Admiralty have given the whole ship's company an extra 48-hour leave,
complete with free railway warrants, as a gesture of appreciation because we've been so efficient.
What are you two looking so baffled about?
Well, apart from the obvious, we've been given a 48 as well.
Really?
Oh, Thunderguts will be here on his Todd. And he's jolly welcome to him.
Incidentally, what are you two girls doing for the weekend?
Why?
Oh, nothing. I was just, thinking.
Yes, so was I.
Well, don't bother. Just because we've all got weekend leave doesn't mean that you can make a 48-hour pass at us.
Nothing was further than our thoughts.
Just a civil question, that's all.
Merely common courtesy.
Exactly. Common courtesy.
Quite. Common,
courtesy?
Yeah, precisely.
I see. Well, if that's all it was, we're not doing anything.
Well, how why don't you come down to with that? Do you mind?
So I spoke first.
I'm senior officer.
Ah, pulling rank now, are we? Typical.
Now, you listen to me.
So much for common courtesy. Didn't last long, did it?
Oh, sir. Sorry, pardon.
Sorry, pardon, likewise.
So, what are we going to do?
Well, it's just the tiniest bit tricky, actually. I mean, this leave has come out of the blue, and Leslie is just the tiniest bit flat broke.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yes, you see, Stephen's just the tiniest bit flat broke likewise, too.
Well, I don't know if Judy's...
Uh-uh.
Son. Well, then that makes four of us.
This is going to be a riotous weekend, isn't it?
Oh, now, wait a minute. It's just a thought that the wardroom is reasonably well stocked, although for the life of me, I can't think how that's happened. Why don't we have a party aboard?
Oh, what a lovely idea. I've never been aboard a frigate.
Yeah, neither have I. I do wish I could learn to think before I speak.
If you could learn to think at all, it'd be something.
Look, I don't want to hurry you, but you'd better get the crew away, hadn't you?
Oh, good heavens, yes. We'll see you aboard about 8, then, shall we? Well, time's getting on, I'm afraid. You girls will have to go ashore, otherwise you'll be giving the ship a bad name.
Beg pardon, I'm sure, sir, but I thought we'd had an absolute stinker for years.
Chief.
Yes, yes.
When you explained that you were skint, and I suggested you might like to stay and act as steward in the wardroom for this party...
Yes, sir.
The theory was that you should serve the drinks, not drink them all yourself.
Please, sir. How could you say that, sir? I've been scrupulous. I've been scrupulously. I've been ever so fair. I've 50-50 all the time. I've only had one every time somebody else had one.
Yeah, possibly, but the ones we ordered were divided amongst five of us.
Yeah, I know, sir. It's been murder trying to keep up.
Well, you've done splendidly.
Let's have one for the road then, eh, sir? Now, Chief, 3 large gins and tonic, a sherry, and another shandy for me.
Well... Here, couldn't you make them small gins? I don't think I can stand any large ones.
What's he doing on his knees?
Oh, that's simple. This way there's less of me trying to stand up. Beg your pardon. Ooh, it must have been those fish paste sandwiches that they made up.
Fatso, is he still on board?
Well, naturally, Mr. Phillips, if the chief is skint, you don't imagine Fatso stood a chance of having anything, surely.
Of course. I suppose that means that Goldstein will be around somewhere as well.
Certainly, I imagine.
You know, for a ship's company that's supposed to be on leave, there's a shocking lot of us aboard.
Oh, I wouldn't say a shocking lot. Some of us are quite nice.
You know something, Judy.
What, Heather?
You could sign the pledge in a place like this.
Oh, easily.
Oh, lovely. That's the girls' drink. Oh,
good heavens, yes. No, it's too late, I'm afraid. We must get them ashore or we'll be in the muck. As we seem to have somehow, albeit mysteriously, got in the Admiralty's good books, I'd hate to drop a clanger now.
Quite so, but I've got a sneaking suspicion that we will, you know. Somehow, being mucko chummo with their lordships doesn't make me feel cozy.
Yeah, I know what you mean, son. I'm sure there's something we ought to be dodging somewhere. But we don't know who flung it and which way it's coming from.
Yes, well, let's duck anyway and get the girls off the ship. Sorry, girls, bars closed. We must see you back to your quarters.
Oh, golly, buttercup, yes. Look at the time.
I'd rather not.
Oh, here are your coats.
Thank you.
Allow me.
Is this bad? Just bad?
Now what's the matter?
Dear Wall.
Glad it's all right. Who's all right? Who's going to see Chief Petty Officer Pertwee back to his quarters?
I should ring up their lordship. Ask one of them to pop down and tuck you in.
Good idea. Hello, White or none of
you? Put that phone down.
I shan't. No, I won't. Not unless someone promises to see John T. into his jammers and read him a story.
I'll read you the riot act in a minute. Now, for goodness sake, get to bed and shut up.
If you're 36, 22, 36, come in. If you're not, go away.
Chief, wake up, it's us, Johnson and Taffy. Peek-a-boo. Chewy. Wake up the fatso.
About that. There's only one word that'll wake him up.
What's that, chap?
I'll show you.
Chiefy. Money. Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? He put his hand out, didn't he?
Here, I got one. Chief, wake up. Marilyn Monroe's outside. That did it.
She's gone! Why didn't you tell me before?
Oh, blimey. What's happening? Where am I?
You woke up, Chiefy, a bit suddenly.
I'll say I did, and I just remembered why. Wasn't so flipping early, I'd kill you two land of the nod reckless in right now.
Now, boy. Don't you dare. You may be a superior officer, but striking a man in uniform can get very nasty.
Yeah, and Taffy should know. He's the Attorney General of Portsmouth, yeah. You know. Besides, we woke you up because we thought you ought to know.
Oh, know what?
Well, nothing much, except that the ship's moving.
Oh, I know that, but I'll be bitter in the morning.
So it really is moving, GV. We're at sea.
What are you talking about?
Hey?
Darby, what are you talking about? We can't be. There's only a few of us aboard.
Ah, that's what you think, Chief. I've heard a lot of footsteps rushing about up top somewhere.
Yeah.
Footsteps?
Yeah. Movie?
We've been hijacked! Purvey's gonna be a white flame! He's gonna be a red flame and he don't want to go! Stop the boat, John. He's a neutral.
Not so loud, Chiefy. They'll hear us.
What do you reckon we ought to do, then, Chief?
Well, I reckon we should sue.
Huh?
My Uncle Edwin's a solicitor, and red hot at suing he is. You know he's known as the biggest sewer of the valley. Yes, You know, he once got my Aunt Morpeth off when she was pinched for riding her bike the wrong way down a one-way street.
Ooh. How did he do that, chap?
Well, he nipped out in the middle of the night before the case was heard and stuck the one-way street sign up the other end of the road. He made a fortune out of that, he did.
Yeah, well, I don't think we'll bother him about this little lad, you do. Oh, I think we'd better tell number one and Mr. Phillips that someone above here is hijacked us. Come on, let's go and wake them up before we find ourselves in... Don't want Mr. Phillips shouting his head off and bringing whoever's up there down here. Whoever they are.
And I, for one, don't want to know whoever they are up there.
Right. Put your hand over his mouth and then I'll call him.
Okay. All ready?
Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips, sir.
Oh, you...
No.
What happened?
He bit me, G.
Don't be such a baby.
Well, what's going on? What's going on? I say, you girls are supposed to be off the ship.
No. Us girls wish we were. Yeah, Mr. Phillips, sir, we're being hijacked.
What? What are you talking about?
We're at sea, sir. What? Whilst we've been asleep down here, sir, some foreign power has sneaked a crew of cutthroats aboard and has kidnapped us all, sir.
Here I say, that's a bit much. Don't they know we're on leave?
No, apparently not, sir. I suppose you wouldn't like to nip up and tell them who... Whoever they are, up there, would you?
No, I don't think I'll bother. I mean, I'm sure there's some mistake, but one can't take chances. You know, this is where caution, skill, cunning, and daring are called for.
What are you going to do then?
Wake up number one and tell him.
Yeah, you can't be more daring than that, can you?
Right. Come on out the road, Pato. Right. Put on weeky-weeky for keep the truth. It's impossible. I can't believe it. People don't go round pinching frigates.
People who pinch anything, sir. I suppose Lieutenant Commander Staunton hasn't borrowed Trout Bridge to do a spot of fish trawling.
Well, he could hardly put to sea on his own, could he, sir?
Ah! What was that? Sounded like a tap on the door.
How could it be, sir? We're all of us who stayed aboard down here.
It must be... One of them. Up there. Whoever they are. Come on! Let me surrender!
Shut up! Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir.
Grab something. Stand behind the door.
Right, sir.
Yes,
sir.
None of them up there.
Yes, sir.
Bob him. Right.
Aye, aye, sir.
Come in.
I say, chap.
I rather think we're moving.
Good gracious, Lieutenant Bates, what are you doing down here?
I know. He was flat broke,
so he stayed aboard.
Precisely. I must say I'm jolly pleased to see you, chaps. I thought Bates, he was being hijacked by that lot up there, whoever they are. And that might have been jolly awkward to explain when I got back.
In what way and to whom?
Why, Admiralty, of course. When they found their frigate had gone and old Batesy had vanished at the same time, they might have thought I'd pinched her and asked me to pay for a new one.
Yes, I see your point. If they stopped it out of your pay at £3 a week, you'd have to serve about 200,000 years.
I know, but let's face it, I'm not getting any younger. And that's why I sneaked into the WT room. Sent a signal and sneaked out again.
Yeah, very wise.
You did what? Sent a signal to all shipping, giving our rough position and asking for assistance and a boarding party.
Ah! We're saved, bully, matey. Rah, rah, rah.
Well done.
Yes.
A rather good show.
Yes.
Oh, it was nice. I still say we ought to sue. It'll be an open and shut case for Uncle Edwin.
I'll open and shut you in a minute, Taffy. Now, come on.
How long before we get rescued, do you reckon?
Well, it depends what shipping is in the area and how close they are. The snag is that they'll only know the ship's position at the time of Mr. Bates' message. And we're steaming away from there every minute.
Yeah, I know, sir. Look, I know. Yeah, how about somebody going below and connecting up to emergency steering, sir? And once we've disconnected the helm on the bridge, we can swing her right round, and with any luck at all, we ought to be heading back to Portsmouth, sir.
Yes, splendid. They'd know, of course, but you can bolt yourself in there and they wouldn't be able to do a thing about it.
No.
Right, off you go, Pertwee, right. And you'd better take Goldstein and Johnson with you.
All right, sir. Aye? Me, sir? No, I said ten somebody, sir. Not ten me.
We'll all go to the emergency steering hold. Come on.
Right.
Hello, Captain Purvey's office.
Hello, Mrs. This is intelligent speaking. Does your governor know he's lost a free gate?
Lost a what?
A free gate. One called Troop Bridge. We picked up an SOS from her saying she's been hijacked.
Hijacked? But I mean, they were... with some of the crew. Oh, just a minute. I'll put you through to Captain Purvey.
Yes?
Would you take this call, sir? It's from intelligence, and it's very urgent.
Oh, very well. Put it through.
Heather, I've just been down to the docks, and Troutbridge is gone.
I know.
They've been hijacked.
Hijacked? What's going to happen?
Well, I wish I knew. Thundercuts is talking to intelligence now.
Can't you listen in?
Oh, yes, I could, but I mean, it'd hardly be... Oh, all right. But keep quiet, for heaven's sake.
No, wait, you don't understand.
You leave it to us, Captain Pokeby. We've sent two destroyers to intercept. We'll have her back in no time.
But you must. Ring Mr. Merivale. He'll tell you. We arranged it all.
What do you mean?
It was all a trick to get rid of the Troutbridge crew without any trouble.
What? Well, really? I heard that and you ought to be utterly ashamed.
Hello. Well, who's that?
I've never heard of anything so outrageous in all my life.
Heather,
will not... Do you realize what this man Pody's done? He's sending our brave lads to their doom without batting an eyelid. It's inhuman, that's what it is. Those men have got to be saved and the criminal in this office brought to justice. The whole world should know how this man plotted to wipe out as gallant a band of men as any you'll find on this sceptred isle, this realm, this England.
Glen Chasen.
Murderer.
Excuse me, but I think there's somebody on the line.
Oh, for crying out loud. Will you get off the... What's
that? Heather, look through the window. Isn't that Troutbridge coming in? What? Where? Between that tanker and the destroyer. Well, nearly in between them.
What with the... It can't be that they should be in Plymouth.
There's something wrong with their steering. They're going all over the place.
Stop them. They've got to be stopped.
You know, there is somebody on the line. Hello. What's happening? Where's everybody gone?
Crank the old left hand down a bit.
Crank the old left hand down a bit, it is, sir.
As you were.
As I was, sir.
Crank the old right hand up a bit.
Crank the old right hand down a bit, it is, sir.
Jolly odd, that. Whatever it is we keep hitting seems to be on both sides of us. Perhaps it's a cave.
Now, too tinny.
It's being blind in the emergency steering hole. If only we could see it a bit. Hello. The engines have stopped. Now, that's rather significant.
Ha, ha, ha.
I reckon we've got whoever it is up there worried.
I can't say I blame them. If you were rushing about in a frigate you couldn't steer because you'd been disconnected and kept hitting something that went boing, you'd be worried and all.
Sure, matey, sure.
Now, what have you done up?
No, quiet. I think I can hear them coming below to bang on that door again.
Open up in there, you hear? Open up and come up with your hands up.
Blimey, that sounds like old Thunderguts. Now, who was potty enough to hijack him?
You know, I have a nasty feeling there might have been a bit of misunderstanding somewhere.
Open up, you can't escape.
Tell me it's him all right. We must be back in Pompey.
Odd, that.
What is?
Well, I seem to have navigated better down here in the dark than when I'm up on the bridge.
Open it up, Chief, before he dents it.
All right, if you insist, sir. But if ever you've given me a command you might regret afterwards, I reckon this is it.
Hands up while I fire.
We'd rather you didn't, actually, sir.
Oh, grief.
No.
I should have known it would be you. What on earth have you been up to?
We saved the ship, sir. She was being hijorged. Hi, Fred. Hijacked, I'm all right. I mean, well...
You idiots, do you realize what you've done? You hit practically every ship in the docks, whilst my crew from Makepeace had to jump for their lives and take to the boats.
Your crew, sir? You mean they were the ones who were up there?
Yeah, of course they were. Well, what were they doing aboard our ship and knocking it off?
What? I'd rather not.
Just a minute. 48-hour passes all round, and then your crew take over Troutbridge and put to sea. I'm not a suspicious man as a rule, sir, but what exactly...
Yes, well, never you mind. Oh, this is awful. What am I...
Oh, good grief, Mr. Merrivale.
My word, this is a fine kettle of fish, I must say, Povey. You're for it over this.
But I can explain.
And you'll have to. I'll see to that. Yes, I'll see to that, all right, mark my words. Use men from Makepeace, you said. I'll vouch for every man personally, you said. Good, reliable men, you said.
But it wasn't there.
Have you seen the docks? There's not a ship that will get past the 10-year test now there, I can tell you. Ridiculous. Remember, all this was your idea, Povey.
What exactly was the idea, sir?
What? Why, bung the Troutbridge mob on leave, move the ship to Plymouth, and then split the Troutbridge crew up when they came back, of course.
Well, of all the dirty, underhanded, crafty carver.
What?
Sorry about this, entirely without my knowledge, of course, you understand.
Oh, of course, sir, we understand.
But I'm innocent, oh. Gentlemen, please, I appeal to you. Well,
not to me, then.
Well, perhaps... You shouldn't be too hard on him, sir.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, I don't quite see how we can...
Yeah, perhaps the odd drop or two in rank might do it.
Yes.
What? Stop at your pay for a bit.
I can't manage on...
Yeah,
no doubt, if we gave him a few tools and a bit of paint, he could patch up some of the damage himself.
No, stop it, all of you, stop it.
Sue him, it's the only way. Sue him.
I demand a court-martial.
Sue him.
I want the world to hear the truth.
Sue him.
It's inhuman. You can't do this to me.
Sue him.
I'm as gallant an officer as any you'll find on this Temple Isle.
And that was... John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott. Mr. Merivale was Ronnie Barker, Heather was Heather Chasen, Judy was Judy Cornwell, Taffy Goldstein was Tanya Levins, and Lieutenant Bates was played by Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alastair Scott Johnston.